chapter 3 is where we're going to start tonight. We introduced the book of Leviticus last time and began talking about the five main offerings under the Old Testament law. There were some other offerings, but they were somewhat sub-offerings, usually in conjunction with one of the main five. But some of those other ones were a vow offering or a thank offering, drink offerings. There's also the heave offering and the wave offering. But really the first five that he gives in the beginning are the main five, and that's what we're going to focus on in this part of Leviticus. So we're going to read here in Leviticus chapter 3. We just prayed, so let's read right now. Leviticus 3:1 says, "And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about." Amen. Please be seated. Last time we covered the first two, the burnt offering and the meal offering, or the meat offering. And so I want to kind of review those very quickly in case you missed that or you forgot. But in Leviticus chapter 1, it talks to us about the burnt offering. The burnt offering was a total sacrifice. This is the only offering that was given that nobody was supposed to eat anything of it. Most of the offerings, a portion of it was kept back for the priests to eat. That was how they got their food, was part of the offerings. And then there were some offerings that even the one who offered it, the peace offering is one of those offerings, even the one who offered the offering was allowed to partake of part of that offering. So part of it would be given, and part of it would be kept back to be eaten. But the burnt offering was a whole burnt offering, and it pictures the entire complete sacrifice of Christ for our sins, that he gave all of himself as a substitute for our sins. It signified the one who gave it, the one who made the offering, it signified their complete dedication to God. They were signifying not only would Messiah give all of himself to us, but that we are giving all of ourselves to him. And it was a voluntary offering that was given. And remember, it was a male without blemish, given on God's altar only, and it was a voluntary sacrifice, substitutionary sacrifice, and it was a personal sacrifice. Then we talked about the meat offering. That's found in Leviticus chapter 2. And the meat offering is not actually flesh, but it's what? It's bread. It's fine flour. It was an offering of fine flour. So don't let the word meat, mess you up. It was a offering of fine flour made without leaven or without honey. It was seasoned, always seasoned with salt, and it was to be an offering given by fire to the Lord. This was the only sacrifice that was not a blood sacrifice in these five. So also there's, of course, the drink offering, but no blood is given in this offering. And then we come down to tonight. Number 3 is the peace offering found in Leviticus chapter 3. You can also read about this in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 36. This is another voluntary offering, and it pictures Christ as our peace, the one who brings us into fellowship with God. It signifies the one who gives its recognition of God's faithfulness to his promise. And this is given in thanksgiving for God's forgiveness of sin. It's given in thanksgiving for God for removing their trespasses. The peace offering was given to recognize that God had given mankind peace with himself. And this was another offering without blemish. It was a sweet savor unto the Lord. And it gives a picture of mankind's communion with God. This was something, as I said, this was something that the offerer could not only give the sacrifice and the sacrifice would be given, but then they could partake of this before the Lord. They could eat part of that sacrifice before the Lord. And so it was a time of communion. Just think about that picture. This thing's given in sacrifice. It's given in worship. It's given in a offering of thanksgiving to God. And at the same time, you get to partake of that offering before God as one standing forgiven. As one standing in right relationship with God, you could stand in the presence of God before the Lord and partake of this sacrifice with him. And what a beautiful picture of our communion with Christ. He gave himself for us so that we could be partakers of him and we could have fellowship with him in the presence of God forever. So the peace offering is a beautiful picture of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The next one is in Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4, find verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Verse 4. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all of the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat of the cover at the inwards, all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, he shall take away. It was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, with his legs, with his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, with the ashes, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. And so he goes on from here. We're not going to read all of it. But then he talks about, beginning at verse 13, just look at verse 13. If the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing is hid from the eyes of the assembly, that they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things that should not be done, and are guilty. And he goes on to explain not only this offering for sin, for a priest who sins ignorantly against God, but if anyone in the whole congregation sins ignorantly against God, then he prescribes the sin offering for all the people. So here's the deal. Is ignorance of the law any excuse? I mean, if you're speeding down the highway and you're doing 65 right through town where it's 25, and the police officer pulls you over and says you're going 65 miles an hour in a 25, and you say, I didn't know it was a 25, does that do any good? Well, it sure doesn't if I get pulled over. Some of you people could be doing 100 and not get a ticket. But people like me, doesn't work that way. So ignorance of the law is no excuse. And these sin offerings are showing us something, friends. When we are guilty, it doesn't matter if we even realize we're guilty or not, we are still guilty before God. We talk to people, and we try to warn them of their sin. I tried to witness to a man earlier this week, and he said that he really doesn't do anything wrong. He's a good person and tries to do good to everybody. And then he, of course, messed himself up. He said, but if I ever do mess up, then I try to make it right. I don't ever do anything wrong, but when I do... You guys with me? We are guilty before God. Amen. And one of the things that the sin offering does is shows us that we're all guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Amen. So the sin offering was given for sin, and it's a picture of Christ bearing the guilt of our sin and removing the guilt of our sin. He bears it and he removes the guilt of our sin. It signifies for the one who offers it, the offerer, the worshiper, it signifies that their sins are atoned for. This is an offering of atonement. Now, it wasn't the day of atonement. We're going to get to that later. But this is a sacrifice that was required by God for the sin of the people. and it was given for sin. And as always, this was an animal given without blemish. The sacrifices always had to be without blemish. So that's the sin offering. So we've seen the burnt offering, the meat offering or meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and number 5 is the trespass offering. Look at Leviticus chapter 5. Find verse 14. Leviticus 5:14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing and shall add the fifth part thereto and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and he shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist or knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. Now, we know that you and I, we commit sins, and our sins don't just affect ourselves. They affect people around us. And I know that if I sin, it could be against a brother, it could be against a sister, it could be against my wife or my children, or it could be against any neighbor that I have. We could sin against other people. But ultimately, all of our sin is a trespass against God. Amen. The truth is, as David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Yes, we can sin against others, but the truth is, God's the only one who's holy. And really, we're not able to sin against anyone but God. And the reason we sin, our sin is ever even against someone else, is because God said, don't do that. Amen. God said, love your neighbor. And so the reason it's sinful to do things against your neighbor is because it's disobeying God's command to love your neighbor. And so it all is going to point back to the holiness of God. Amen. This trespass offering pictures Christ bearing and removing the consequences of our sin. So I see that sin offering removes the guilt of our sin, but the trespass offering removes the consequences of our sin. It removes that from them. Now, it was a temporary covering for their sin. The word atonement means a covering. And the sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament could only ever be a temporary covering. Because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. And Christ, as our sacrifice, as our atonement for our sin, he didn't just cover our sin, he takes it away forever. Amen. This offering signified a satisfaction for the penalty of sin and a restitution to right relationship with God. This allowed the sinner to be put in a right relationship with God again. It really is about restitution or reconciliation to God. This trespass offering was for particular sins. It was for particular sins, plural. The sin offering was for sin, singular. The trespass offering is for sins, plural. And it has this idea that this is for particular things that you did. It's the way to get restitution and forgiveness before God. So God gives these five main offerings or sacrifices that were given under the law. And these sacrifices might be a bullock or an oxen. It might be a sheep. It might be a goat. It might be a pigeon or a pair of turtle doves. And all of those animals, I think, might have some significance too. You think about the bullock or the oxen was used in service. They were the ones that bore the yoke and carried the burden. You think about the sheep and how they were meek and lowly. You think about the goats, and those goats represent sin, and the scapegoat being the one who would have sin on it to be taken away. Of course, the birds always represented poverty and those who could not afford larger animals, but you get this, God made a way for everyone to make a sacrifice, both rich and poor. He made a way for everyone to be able to worship him, to bring their offerings and sacrifices to him. No one was going to be left out of God's design for worship in the Old Testament. Amen. The gospel is for everyone. I want you to think about this a little bit too. These offerings are given in this order. Chapter 1, we look at the burnt offering. Chapter 2, the meat offering, or the meal offering. Chapter 3, the peace offering. And when you really think about those offerings, those three offerings are really given by those who are in a good standing with God. They're given by someone who's already been forgiven, given by someone who's brought to a right relationship with God, and they're really given out of a heart of gratitude. So it starts with the one who's already been made right with God, but as you work through those, you go down to the sin offering and the trespass offering. Those are the ones who are far away from God. And so God really, as he gives Leviticus, he starts from his perspective and works away from himself, those who are near to him, moving away to those who are far away, and he's giving the prescription for how to get to him. How to come near to God. Jesus Christ gave everything for us. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus emptied himself. He gave all of himself for us as a whole burnt offering for our sins. Amen. The meat offering. We talked about this last time, but John 6:33, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus Christ is that meat offering, that bread sacrifice. The peace offering, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Christ is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Peace offerings pointing to Jesus Christ, who is our peace, who took the wall that separated us from God and took it away. The wall that separated in particular here the Gentiles from God. And he's taken that out of the way. And he's made both Jews and Gentiles one in Christ. So we have peace with God. Taking away the enmity that we had. The division. The place that put us at animosity with God. He's taken that away and given us reconciliation. That's the peace. Number 4, the sin offering. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Amen. The sin offering that they gave over and over and over. The Day of Atonement that came once a year after year after year. Christ came. And he paid for our sin once for all. Amen. By the sacrifice of himself. The trespass offering, Hebrews 10:11-12. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And I find it fascinating that in one place he says sin, in another he says sins. Just like in the Old Testament in Leviticus, there was the sin offering and there was the trespass offering for sins. And Christ took care of all of the above.
Amen.
So do you see, it really works from chapter 1 of 5 to the trespass offering. But for the sinner who wants to come near to God, you have to start with the trespass offering. You have to deal with your sins first. That's where you have to begin. And trespass, Christ, 1 John 2:2, do you remember it? He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
He is the trespass offering. The sin offering, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So he became sin. He is the trespass offering, the sin offering. He is our peace, Colossians 1, 21 and 22. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You have been reconciled to God. You've given peace with God. And listen, where were we? We were wicked and we were godless and we were living in the filth of our sin. And yet God in his holiness loved us and gave his son for us. And through the ugliness of death, through the ugliness of becoming sin for us, Christ died so that we could have peace with God.
Amen.
Peace with God through Christ. He is the bread of life, the meat offering, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is it? A living sacrifice.
Amen.
Which is a holy sacrifice. It's an acceptable sacrifice. It is a reasonable service and sacrifice. I told you this meat offering and this peace offering have this idea of the peace offering has this idea of communion with God. This meat offering or bread offering, Christ gave himself for us. But remember, he became one of us.
Amen.
So that we could be reconciled to God. The bread from heaven came down and was among us. And not only did he give his life when he died, but you realize that he gave his life in his living.
Amen.
It's not just that he died for us, he lived for us. And so this idea of the bread, he has this idea of being a living sacrifice, which is exactly what he's called us to be living sacrifices for him because he lived and died and rose again for us. And last, the burnt offering, Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul would say, I am willing and very glad to be spent, to spend and to be spent for you.
Amen.
Romans 14:8, he would say, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
What's the point? The burnt offering was a whole offering to God. Everything was burned up. Everything was given on the altar. When Christ came, what did he give? He gave everything.
Amen.
And what is it that he requires of you and I? Does he want our Sundays? You bet he wants our Sundays. You want our Wednesday nights? Sure he does. But what about the rest of it? He wants all of it.
Amen.
Why? Because when he gave all of himself and you trusted in him, he bought all of you.
Amen.
And it is our reasonable service to give everything we are to Christ. And that's what Paul's saying in these verses I mentioned. He gave everything for the cause of Christ. He was glad to be spent for the saints. Why? Because it was for the glory of Christ. He wasn't just living his life just for the saints. He was doing that for them, for Christ. He gave everything. Literally, Paul gave everything for the gospel's sake. And I can't help but think and get convicted personally about how much we want to hold back and how we don't want to give everything. We want to give some things to God. But what the Lord says and what the Lord requires is that we would give all. We all grew up singing the song, didn't we? I can't tell you how many times at the end of a service we sang, "I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." And I wonder how many times those have been empty words on my lips. God, help us to give everything to the one who gave everything for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Merciful Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, I pray that Jesus has been magnified through the word of God. I pray that anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that tonight they've seen and heard the love of Christ, that he gave everything for us so that we could have relationship with you, so that we could be brought into right relationship with you, that we could be forgiven, that we could have reconciliation and have peace with God. I pray that anyone who's lost hearing this message, that even now they would turn away from their sin and belief. They would trust with all their heart in Christ alone as their Savior. I pray for all of us who are saved that you'd help us to give everything for you every day. That we wouldn't hold back. That we would gladly spend and be spent for the gospel's sake. That we would live our lives as sacrifices for you, for your glory. Forgive us where we fall short and help us, Lord, to love and be faithful to you as genuine disciples following and continuing in your word and as disciples who make disciples for your glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.